Ramsey TV.
Boy, I'm telling you, every once in a while you just need a Coca-Cola, don't you? The pause that refreshes, sometimes only Coke will do. I got a big show. Big show for you today. I had one of those eureka moments, like with the mad scientist in his laboratory, and he pours this chemical in this test tube, and this chemical, and then the smoke comes up, and eureka, I've got it. What have I got? I have proof in the context. Why didn't I see this before? It's a subtle point, but when I show it to you, you can't help but see it. It's in the context of 1 Corinthians 6. And it answers the question definitively. Is there an allotment above and beyond salvation? In other words, is the allotment Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians 6, is that general salvation? I have proof that it cannot be general salvation. And I'm going to show you why here at the end of the week on MZ TV. Good to have you with me. Good to have you with me. It's been a heck of a week, right? But I love this. This is so interesting. Oh, do you know what my friend Ted, we used to argue about, not argue, but we used to discuss this passage 30 years ago. And my friend Ted, I remember, had an idea on it. Ted was a teacher in the body of Christ. He's since gone haywire, doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God anymore. But he said it's the enjoyment that they're missing out on. Those who do these things will not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. His take on it was these people will be so busy, these saints, and I agree with him that they are saints, and he has agreed that they were saints, even though they were, you know, a mess, because we're talking about the Corinthians after all. He said that the saints will not be able to enjoy an allotment because they'll be too busy catamiting and sodomiting and extorting and adulterating. Or is it adultering? Adulterating? Okay. They'll be so busy doing that, they just won't have time to enjoy their allotment. And I think back now, and I think that's kind of humorous, because I don't know why people can't multitask. Why can't someone be an extortioner, and while he's extorting somebody, still be enjoying his allotment? I mean, you can compartmentalize, can't you? It's like, I am extorting you right now, and yet at the same time, I'm enjoying my allotment. So that's a stretch, and it just shows you that people, even in the concordant circles, have wrestled with this passage. But the first thing I want to do is show you that these sinners of this context are definitely members of the Corinthian ecclesia. Remember, we had that one comment yesterday that said, there's no way this could be talking about members of the body of Christ. It's just talking about worldly people who don't have an allotment. And see, that can't be true either. That can't be true, because this allotment cannot be general salvation. And these sinners of the context cannot be worldly people, cannot be unbelievers. I'm going to show you why in a second, but look at this. I have proof positive, and, you know, always talking about context, and here I didn't even go to the greater context, which is chapter 5. First of all, let's list again the sinners of the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 context who will not be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. Paramours, idolaters, adulterers, catamites, sodomites, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of them shall be enjoying the allotment of God's kingdom. And Paul says in verse 11, that was verse 10, and some of you were these. So the thinking in some camps, and the objectors brought this up, is that none of them are this anymore. But what if they were? Obviously, they were. Some of them were, but what happened to them What was their condition when they were these things? I'm giving you a big hint here. I'll tell you what their condition was. Some of you were these things, but you are bathed off, you are hallowed, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were justified. So while they were sodomites, catamites, paramours, they were justified in that condition. This is why the allotment of God's kingdom can't be general salvation, because these sins don't keep anyone from general salvation, from aeonian life. Otherwise, we would have to say, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, thieves, none of these people will be saved. What? We know that's not true, because God saves exactly these kinds of people. I'm really getting ahead of myself, but let me go up to chapter 5. Paul says, I write to you in the epistle, this is verse 9, chapter 5, I write to you in the epistle not to be commingling with paramours. Where did I hear paramours? Of course, down in our study passage, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. I write to you not to be commingling with paramours. And undoubtedly, it is not as to the paramours of this world, or the greedy and extortionate, or idolaters, else consequently you ought to come out of the world. Yet now, I write to you not to be commingling with anyone named a brother, if he should be a paramour, or greedy, or an idolater, or a reviler, same list, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, exactly the same list. With such a one, you are not even to be eating. The assumption is that there are these people still in the Corinthian ecclesia, and Paul deals with them just like he dealt in this very chapter with the guy who was screwing his stepmother. Chapter 5, verse 1, absolutely, it is heard that there is prostitution among you, and such prostitution which is not even named among the nations. So not only are these sins being experienced, being committed by members of the body of Christ, but they are committing them in such a way that Paul says, in his opinion, in a way that is not even named among the nations. In other words, they're outdoing the worldly people, these Corinthians are, in the sin department. So that someone has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and mourn not rather. This guy who is screwing his stepmother is already called a saint, already called hallowed. So as far as the gentleman who said that these can't be believers, they certainly are believers, and there's proof positive in chapter 5. The other objector said, well, every member of the body of Christ has this allotment. In other words, this objector is really turned off by the very idea that some in the body of Christ, I think he's turned off by it, some in the body of Christ would have more, something extra than others. And he's certainly offended by the thought that this could be had, relatively speaking, by not being a drunkard or a reviler or an extortioner or a thief, by not doing these things as a career. Took offense at that, to the point that he twisted this passage to say that nobody's going to be these things when they're saved. And I blew up that personal interpretation. Scripture is not about personal interpretations. We can say this is a personal interpretation, and the man did say in the comments, this is just my opinion, in other words, a personal interpretation, but the Scripture is not a matter of personal interpretation. Scripture is not a matter of that. So we must throw away our preconceptions and go to the Word of God. Is the allotment of God's kingdom in this context general salvation? It can't be. Why? Otherwise, we would have to be saying that thieves and greedy people and paramours and idolaters shall not be enjoying aeonian life. They can't be saved. But we know that that is not true. And there's proof in this very context that that is not true. Paul says in verse 11, and some of you were these, but you are bathed off, you are hallowed, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So these people were justified while they were revilers, extortioners, drunkards, thieves. They were justified while they were these things. So if they were already saved while they were these things, what is Paul talking about now? It can't be general salvation, because people like this are savior fodder. As I said the other day, Romans 5, God saved us while we were still sinners, while we were still in accord with the eon, still irreverent. So this allotment of God's kingdom cannot be general salvation. If you're going to say that this is general salvation, you're going to have to say that thieves shall not be enjoying aeonian life, cannot be enjoying salvation. Thieves can't be saved, greedy people can't be saved, drunkards can't be saved, revilers can't be saved, extortioners can't be saved. We know that's not true. Again, I keep saying it, trying to say it in different ways. We know that's not true because Paul said even some among them were saved in that condition. If this passage is not talking about unbelievers not getting salvation, and this is what the one objector said, these are unbelievers, and they're not getting salvation because they're greedy, because they're this, because they're that. I just showed you that can't be true, because those are the kinds of people who get salvation. In fact, the Corinthians got salvation while being those things. So if it's not talking about unbelievers not getting salvation, then what is it talking about? It's talking about believers not getting an allotment. Let me word it another way. If Paul is not telling unsaved people that they will miss out on salvation unless they change their ways, then what is he doing? He is telling saved people that they will miss out on an allotment unless they change their ways. In other words, Paul can't be warning sinners. See, I'm trying to say it another way. I wrote it a different way. I don't care how repetitive this gets. It's going to be over soon, but I just want you to see this. In other words, Paul can't be warning sinners that they can't be saved. Oh, no, no thief can enjoy salvation. We know that's absolutely not true. So this can't be talking about salvation. Ooh, this is not talking about salvation. Because Christ saves sinners. The deception Paul mentions in the context where he says, do not be deceived, it doesn't come from thinking that sinners such as these cannot be saved. And Paul says, be not deceived. No sinner can be saved. If the allotment of the kingdom is general salvation, that's what Paul would be saying. Be not deceived. No sinner that I'm about to mention can enjoy salvation. Can't be saying that. So the deception Paul warns about, be not deceived, comes not from thinking that sinners such as these cannot be saved. The deception, are you ready for this? The deception is that saints, members of the Corinthian ecclesia who are doing these things, they would be deceived if they thought they would have a special allotment. And maybe they didn't even know yet of the special allotment. And the proof is in the context. Again, Paul said, and you were these things. Some of you were these things, but you were justified. Says that right in verse 11, but you were justified. So this proves that God justifies Cadamites, Sodomites, and the rest. And I'll say this one more way. If this is not talking about unbelievers not getting salvation, then it must be talking about believers not getting an allotment. These Corinthians were already in the body of Christ. They're already in. Paul says that you're justified in verse 11. You were justified, and they're already in. and they got in while they were these awful sinning creatures. Some of them apparently were continuing to be these awful sinning creatures even after they were saved. And this is why Paul brings up these sins.
So, these people are definitely in the body of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Paul doesn't care about unbelievers. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned about the body. So these people are definitely in the body. They're already in the body of Christ when Paul's warning them about this stuff. And I think some of them were kind of smug, you know. So we're still adulterers. What's the big deal? You know, that's probably what the guy was thinking who was screwing his stepmother.
Yeah.
You know, I think they got kind of smug. Like, yeah, we're in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
What's a little stepmother screwing among friends, right?
Not good.
Yeah, not good.
Not good at all.
No, not good at all.
Not good at all.
So Paul really, I think he's stopping these people short when he's saying, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you people who are in the body of Christ, you can still miss something.
Yeah, the allotment.
Yeah, exactly. They would say, well, what do you mean we can miss something? Because we're already in the body of Christ, Paul, we got it made. Paul said, there's something more.
Yeah.
If you're still doing these things, I got to tell you something, you got something to lose.
Yeah. We do want to please God.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And it's actually motivation for that.
Yeah.
There's actually motivation, bro. There's no doubt in my mind now that Paul is warning people who already are believers that even after they were justified, even after they were hallowed, even after they were bathed off in the mind of God, after they were justified, they're still doing these things. And Paul, where does he have to go with that? There is one place he can go with that. He knows something that they don't know. That no believer who is doing these things will have an allotment in the kingdom.
Our one protester said, everybody has the allotment. Everybody has this allotment. Really? Then why does Paul say that certain people won't have it? Well, because he's not talking to members of the body of Christ. He's talking to worldly people. Just found out from chapter 5 that doesn't really care that much about worldly people. He's talking about people within the ecclesia. Don't eat with such people in the ecclesia. An allotment is a special parcel. The Israelites got allotments of land. Each tribe had an allotment of land. It was carved out. I'm going to look more into this allotment on Monday. The word allotment. What could this allotment be? I think I've shown without a shadow of a doubt that this allotment is not general salvation, because all these types of sinning people can certainly be saved. They certainly can be enjoying salvation. But saints, believers who are doing these things will not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom. This proves that there's something above and beyond salvation. And I think we nailed it down here. Of course, Paul alludes to it in Philippians, and he even talks about it later in this letter, 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to go to that next week. I was reading ahead and 1 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, 11. It's fascinating. Tons of difficult passages. Really uncomfortable passages. But once you realize that the issue is not general salvation, the issue is not your average, ordinary, aeonian life, if there is such a thing as average, ordinary, aeonian life. But he's talking about something greater. What could that possibly be? We will look into that and other things next week here on MZTV.